Introduction to Science. Section 2. The Way Science Works. In our society, riding a bicycle or driving a car is considered almost a survival skill. The skills that we think are important, however, change over time as society and technology change. Science skills. Pouring liquid into a test tube without spilling it may be a useful skill in the lab, but other skills are more important in science. Identifying problems, planning experiments, recording observations, and correctly reporting data are some of the most important science skills. The most important skill is learning to think creatively and critically. Critical thinking helps you solve problems logically. Imagine that you and a friend want to buy some popcorn, but also want to save money. Would you buy the large container of popcorn shown in Figure 1 and share? Or would you buy two small containers of popcorn? We often assume that products in larger packages are a better value than products in smaller packages. However, we need to make observations and compare data to see if this assumption is true. How many ounces are in each container of popcorn? What is the price of each container? How many ounces would you get if you bought two small containers? How much would two small containers cost? If you approach the problem by asking questions, making observations, and using logic, you are using critical thinking. Scientists use scientific methods to solve problems. Critical thinking is used to solve scientific problems as part of scientific methods. Scientific methods are general ways to help organize your thinking about questions. Using scientific methods helps you find and evaluate possible answers. Scientific methods are sets of procedures that scientists use, as Figure 2 shows, but the steps can vary. Although the set of procedures used depends on the nature of the question to be answered, most scientific questions begin with observations, simple things that you notice. For example, you may notice that when you open a door, you hear a squeak. You ask the question, "Why does this door make noise?" You may gather data by checking other doors and find that they do not make noise. You form a hypothesis, a possible answer that you can test. For example, you may think that the doorknob is the source of the squeak. Scientists test hypotheses. Scientists test a hypothesis by doing a controlled experiment. In a controlled experiment, variables that can affect the outcome of the experiment are kept constant or controlled, except for the one or ones that you want to measure. Only the results of changing the given variables are observed. The more things that you change at a time, the harder it is to make reliable conclusions. You may stop the squeak if you remove the knob and oil the hinges, but you will not find the cause of the squeak. You may not find the answer on the first try, even if you test one thing at a time. If the door makes noise after you take the knob off, was your experiment a failure? Experiments test ideas. Even if an experiment does not give the desired results, it is not a failure. All observations of events in the natural world can be used to revise a hypothesis and to plan tests of a different variable. For example, once you know that the doorknob did not cause the squeak, you can change your hypothesis. Will oiling the hinges stop the noise? Often, as with Rentgen's X-rays, experimental results are surprising and lead scientists in new directions. Scientists always keep in mind the question to be tested. To keep from making false conclusions, they must carefully search for bias in the way that they plan and analyze their experiments. Scientists who work together tend to see things the same way. so it is important for them to publish their results in scientific journals, where other experts can review the work. Research that has been examined by other scientists is said to have been peer-reviewed. Scientists should keep in mind their personal bias and report conflicts of interest. Government agencies, private foundations, and industrial interests often fund scientific research. Scientists must guard against reaching false conclusions that may be desired by the groups that give them money. Some questions, such as how Earth's climate has changed over millions of years, cannot be answered by doing experiments in the laboratory. Instead, geologists make observations all over Earth. As Figure 3 shows, scientists collect many samples to study so that they can form conclusions based on a convincing amount of data. Scientists use special tools. Logical thinking is not the only skill used in science. Sometimes, scientists make observations by using tools made through advancements in technology. Scientists must know how to use these tools, what the limits of the tools are, and how to interpret data from them. Astronomers, for example, use telescopes with lenses and mirrors. Some of the observatories shown in Figure 4 hold telescopes that magnify objects that appear small because they are far away, such as distant galaxies. Other observatories contain telescopes that do not form pictures from visible light. Radio telescopes detect the radio waves given off by distant objects. Some of the oldest, most distant objects in the universe have been found with radio telescopes. Chemists use spectroscopes to separate light into a rainbow of colors. By using this tool, chemists can learn about a substance from the light that it absorbs or gives off. Physicists use particle accelerators to make fragments of atoms move very fast. Then they let the pieces smash into atoms or parts of atoms. Scientists learn about the structure of atoms from the data that they collect. Units of measurement. Mathematics is the language of science, and mathematical models rely on accuracy. Scientists use standard units of measure that together form the International System of Units, or SI. SI stands for the French term Le Système International de l'Unité. This system allows scientists around the world to compare observations and calculations. SI units are used for consistency. Suppose that one of your classmates estimates that she drinks 3 gallons of water in a week. Another classmate thinks that he drinks about 350 ounces of water in a week. Who drinks more water? When all scientists use the same system of measurement, sharing data and results is easier. SI is based on the metric system and uses the 7 SI base units that are listed in Figure 5. You may have noticed that the base units do not include area, volume, pressure, weight, force, speed, and other familiar quantities. Combinations of the base units are called derived units and are used for these measurements. For example, suppose that you want to order carpet for a floor that measures 8.0 meters long and 6.0 meters wide. You know that the area of a rectangle is its length times its width. A equals L times W. The area of the floor can be calculated as shown below. A equals 8.0 meters times 6.0 meters, which is equal to 48 meters squared, or 48 square meters. The SI unit of area, square meters, is a derived unit. SI prefixes are used for very large and very small measurements. Look at a meter stick. How would you express the length of a bird's egg or the distance you traveled on a trip in meters? The bird's egg might be 5/100 meters or 0.05 meters long. The distance of your trip could have been 800,000 meters. To avoid writing a lot of decimal places and zeros, you can use SI prefixes to express very small or very large numbers. These prefixes are all multiples of 10, as Figure 6 and Figure 7 show. If you use the prefixes, you can say that the bird's egg is 5 centimeters, 1 centimeter equals 0.01 meter, long, and your trip was 800 kilometers, 1 kilometer equals 1,000 meters, long. Note that the base unit of mass is the kilogram, which is a multiple of the gram. It is easy to convert SI units to smaller or larger units. Remember that for the same measurement, you need to use more of a small unit or less of a large unit. For example, if a person's height is 1.75 meters, the same height in centimeters would be 175 centimeters, a larger number. But 1.75 meters and 175 centimeters express the same quantity. You can convert between smaller and larger numbers. To convert to a smaller unit, multiply the measurement by the ratio of units so that you get a larger number. For example, to change 1.85 meters to centimeters, multiply by 100. To convert to a larger unit, as in the question in Figure 8, divide the measurement by the ratio of units so that you get a smaller number. To change 185 centimeters to meters, divide by 100. Measurements quantify your observations. Many observations rely on quantitative measurements. Basic scientific measurements usually answer questions such as, how much time did it take? And how big is it? Often, you will measure time, length, mass, and volume. The SI units for these quantities, examples of each quantity, and some of the tools that you may use to measure them are shown in Figure 9. Although someone may say that he or she is weighing an object with a balance, weight is not the same as mass. Mass is the quantity of matter, and weight is the force with which Earth's gravity pulls on that quantity of matter. Your weight would be less on Mars than it is on Earth, but your mass would be the same on both planets. In the lab, you will use a graduated cylinder to measure the volume of liquids. The volume of a solid that has a specific geometric shape can be calculated from the measured lengths of its surfaces. Small volumes are usually expressed in cubic centimeters. 1 cubic centimeter is equal to 1 milliliter. Scientific instruments can measure quantities that are very small. You cannot see the tiny guitar shown in Figure 10 with the unaided eye. But by using an electron microscope, the width of the strings on the tiny guitar can be measured. At only about 50 nanometers wide, these strings are more than 1,000 times as thin as one of your hairs. Well, we've reached the end of this section. Before moving on, take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the review questions.